God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from Luke chapter 6, the first 11 verses, in which you could say a trap has been sort of laid for Jesus. The Pharisees wanted to trap Jesus. They knew that he sort of did things on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees had all these type of rules, you could say, man-made rules, and how they interpreted what it meant to remember the Sabbath. And so they put a little trap before Jesus, and particularly here, they had someone whose hand was shriveled up. They wanted to see if Jesus would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus looks around and puts the man actually in front. He wasn't going to do this sort of behind the scenes, hoping that the Pharisees weren't going to notice. No, if he was going to, quote unquote, get in trouble for something, he was going to do it boldly. He put the man saying, come, stand up, stand in front of everyone. Then he sort of asks a question, which everyone didn't answer. And then he says, stretch out your hand. And a miracle of God took place. We may think of it kind of strange, especially on the part of the Pharisees, to sit there and say, what's wrong with a miracle? A miracle of God. But it was breaking their Sabbath rules. We may think, oh, those silly Pharisees. We would never do such silly things like that to establish man-made laws to prevent God's grace from happening. But unfortunately, if we truly take a look at some of our actions, what we say and what we do, we might have some man-made laws that prevents God's grace from happening. So first of all, we have to ask, what does it mean to worship? And what does it mean to worship particularly on the Sabbath? We may remember the third commandment, especially as been taught to us. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So what is the Sabbath? Well, the Sabbath was, in one essence, the day of rest. God created all of creation in 6 days, as Scripture tells us. And then he rested on the Sabbath. And in the Ten Commandments, God asks us to remember the Sabbath, to come before him, to hear his word, to worship. But before we have to go into that, we have to ask ourselves, what day is the Sabbath? Typically, Christian churches in today's world, especially in the United States, worship on Sunday. But we have to remember very carefully, that is not the Sabbath. The true Sabbath worship is that on, strangely enough, Saturday. So why does the Christian church worship on Sunday? Sunday is the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week. As the women went to the tomb, as Luke reminds us, they went on the first day of the week. Christians, we remember the Sabbath, or I should say the Sabbath, the resurrection of our Lord. We worship typically on the first day of the week. Now, here at Trinity, I will admit, we also have the Saturday evening worship. And for those people who come Saturday evening, yes, you're not worshiping on the first day of the week or the day of the resurrection. You're worshiping on the Sabbath. But this doesn't give us any extra brownie points just because we regularly attend the Saturday evening worship service. We can't sit there and say to God and saying, God, I usually worship on the Sabbath. I get more brownie points than those who worship on Sunday. Sounds kind of strange, but sometimes people, even good committed Christians, get hung up on what day do we come, gather, and worship. Let me talk about another aspect of what occurs when we come and gather. Very often, sometimes people get this a little mixed up. But what is our Lord trying to teach us in Luke right here? He's trying to teach us that, yes, God does give good and wonderful gifts. So when we come to worship, when we come to gather, what was the mind frame when we came through those doors? What was our heart like when we sat in the pews? Were we thinking, I've come here to receive God's gifts, his gifts to me and his word to strengthen my sin-filled life, his gift to me in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to remind me of the forgiveness of sins and to strengthen me in that faith? Did we come here with an emptiness that only God could fill? If we did, we're sort of expecting that same miracle that the man with the shriveled hand experienced. God touching our lives and a change to take place. But did we come here expecting that change? Or did we think, you know, this is the thing to do. season of Lent, we have midweek Lenten services. We come, we sit for a while, we sing, we hear, we leave, and we go back to our normal routine. Did we come here tonight to be changed by God? Do we see our lives like that shriveled hand, not doing what it's supposed to be doing, not functioning well, sort of stuck in a rut, so to speak? If we did, then we've come to the right place for the right reason. Because just as Jesus says, stretch out your hand, and that hand was healed. In one essence, the same word of God changes us in our lives so that we are healed. Now, this may sound kind of strange. It may not have been the message you were intending to hear. And the reason why is, I would have to say, because we, like the Pharisees, have in the back of our minds certain scripts, certain understandings of what it means to come and to worship. And unfortunately, we lose sight of God's precious gifts, the miracle that He works within us through that Word, through the Holy Spirit, the grace we receive through the Lord's Supper, God's Word touching our lives to make us whole. We lose sight of all that because we're so stuck in our routine. It's almost like we don't move. We just follow the same pattern. And over the weekend, we'll be worshiping again. But are we coming to be healed? Or is this just the pattern that we're stuck with? If this is the pattern we're stuck with, I challenge us in thinking that we're more like the Pharisees than we originally thought. You see, that was the Pharisees' problems. They didn't have in the back of their mind the idea of what the Sabbath was all about. They thought it was filled with all these rules, and if we just sort of kept the rules perfectly, then we'd be a good person. But we have to go back to, why did God rest on that seventh day? Was God tired? No. Did God absolutely rest? That's a good debate. God's power was still in existence, otherwise the world would fall apart. So what does it mean when God rested? He set before us a pattern, knowing that we need strength. We can't work 7 days a week constantly, day in, day out. We need that strength to be renewed. We need that strength to grow. We are empty, and we need to be filled with what God has, the power and strength that comes from Him and Him alone. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments, the people of Israel. They just got redeemed from slavery. And then Moses hands them the Ten Commandments. And typically when we hear the Ten Commandments, what's the first thought that we go through our mind going, oh no, here comes the ten laws we must do. Let's think about this for a moment. Let's just focus on the third one. For generations of their lives, they were slaves, working day in, day out. The sunrise, they went to work. The sunset, they finally came home. How many days a week does the slave work? 7. And if the master wants them to work more hours than sunrise, guess what? They work more hours. And now here comes God handing them 10 commandments, 10 laws, as we sometimes like to call them. And basically in one of those laws, it says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Rest on the day. Now, to a man who has been working 7 days a week from sun up and sun down, and all of a sudden God says, rest. This is great news. This is fantastic news to the weary soul, to the weary person. This is calls for celebration to jump up and down, because why? God is concerned for the individual. He knows we can't keep on working. We need that time off, that break, that chance to renew ourselves. And He says it's more than just having a day off. You know, anyone can sort of take a day off here and there. But now to renew yourself in God's holy word, to be touched by God through that word, through that sacrament, that's something different. That's a renewing part that God's action has upon us. Not something to be taken for granted. But too often, if you ask us, what does the Ten Commandments mean? We sort of roll our eyes and going, oh no, here comes a good law sermon. I would challenge you. There's grace in there. There's grace if we come with an empty heart that's sagging, that needs to be filled by God. there's grace there. If we come seeking from the Lord what the world cannot provide, there is grace there. If we come here tonight like that man with the shriveled hand, seeking to be healed, seeking to be changed. And Jesus says, stretch out your hand. And we stretch out our hand and saying, Lord, thank you. Getting back to our text, Jesus reminds the Pharisee, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. I like the Greekism, so to speak. Greek has a way of making sure that the first thing in the sentence is the most important thing. And so if I had to do a literal translation from the Greek, it would be Lord of the Sabbath, the Son of Man is. He is Lord of the Sabbath. What does it mean to be that Lord of the Sabbath? How can someone be the Lord of rest? No, it's not. It's more than just Lord of rest. It's the Lord of the grace. What is that rest for? For God to fill us with His grace. To fill the emptiness of our soul and our lives. And God does. That is who He is. He is the one who bestows this grace upon us. The one who wants to fill us up. He's the one who paid the price so He can fill us up. Yes, His death on the cross appeased God's wrath so that God can shower upon us this wonderful grace. So if we've come here tonight seeking that miracle, if we've come here tonight to be strengthened by the Word of God, if we've come here tonight to hear God's Word and to grow and to have our lives changed, then we're here for the right reason. Then it doesn't matter whether we're actually worshiping on Saturday, Sunday, or even a Wednesday evening. We've come seeking God's grace. But if in the back of our minds we had some other reason to be here, then we're here for the wrong reason. Because God comes to fill sinners. God comes to forgive sinners. God comes to fill our lives. That's why we have the confession and absolution. The confession sets the tone at the beginning of our worship service. We don't come here boldly. We come here asking God for grace and mercy. After the confession and absolution, we have the Kyrie, the Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. Again, asking God's strength in our lives. We continue that asking. In the words of the offertory, create in me a clean heart, O God. Why? Our heart isn't clean. We ask God to renew a right spirit within me. Again, we're asking the Lord to fill us with this grace. We come to the communion liturgy and finally the distribution of the Lord's Supper. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in with and under the bread and the wine, for the strengthening of our faith, the forgiveness of our sins. We keep asking God, yes, God, fill our lives. And He graciously does. All because of the person and work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if we've come here tonight asking and seeking God's grace, we've come for the right reason. If there was some other reason, well, we've become a little bit more pharisaical in our lives. But God's grace even goes out to the Pharisees. Notice the Pharisees were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. It doesn't say that Jesus afterwards basically condemned them to hell. No, because when Jesus died on the cross, He even died for their sins. So even if we miss the boat in our pure intentions of coming to Trinity this evening to hear God's Word and to grow in that grace wasn't there, let me tell it to you again. It is there. God forgives our pharisaical attitudes. He forgives us when we completely forget about His grace and just show up because of the sake of showing up. And He says, guess what? My grace still abounds. Stretch out your hand. The man did so, and he was completely restored. We stretch out our hand and say, Lord, fill me with your grace. And He does so, and we are restored. We ask the Lord to continue to guide our hearts and our thoughts as we carry on in the week. Help us not to get stuck in the same ruts that we were stuck in before. Because God's grace can come to us more as we read God's Word, even on our own. We can open up the Bible more than just coming to church. We can open up every day in our lives. We can ask God as we come before Him in prayer, Lord, bestow Your grace upon us. Help me to read Your Word and to grow in that faith. Help me to realize I need to depend on You for the source and strength of my life. And as we ask God for grace, as a loving Father hears the requests of His children, the loving Father says, yes, here's my grace. And He gives us that grace. So we come here tonight saying, Lord, You are Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of the grace. Bestow that grace upon us. And He does. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.